The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling of the Max NXT Review for January 17th, 2018. And we, of course, are brought to you by W2Mnet.com, the place where you go find a ton more. And hey, don't forget to go subscribe, rate, and review over at Wrestling of the Max or the W2M Network. You'll get all of our great review shows that we do every single week in one nice place. It's simple, it's easy, it's the best way to get the content that you've been looking for. And hey, also give some big love to 411mania.com and lastwordonprowrestling.com. Both excellent sites to go check out too. They give you plenty of wrestling content and some other stuff too. So if they support us, let's support them. I, of course, am your host tonight, Gary Vaughn, and along with me is not Paul Leaser, it's Brandon Bisgobing. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how's it going, Gary? It's weird being with someone else other than Harry.
I'm sure, you know, a little bit diversity when it comes to personalities. Harry is really awesome, has, you know, a different kind of motivation than I do because he's over the top in a different way. I'm a little over the top, maybe in the, I don't know, weird, odd kind of way, but that's okay. I think we all can get along here over at the W2M Net. But I'm so happy to be with you, man. You know, it seems like a long, long time since we've done a podcast together. We've done plenty together.
Yes, it is. Oh. Yeah, I don't even know when the last time we've done a podcast together is.
Yeah, it's crazy. But hey, I'm glad you're here with me, and I really appreciate you stepping up to the to the bat here, because Paul Leaser is sick tonight. He is possibly with the flu. He just knows he's ill. So if the flu's gone nationwide, so
I'm pretty much the pinch hitter / sixth man for W2M.
Yeah. And hey, you're worth every dime because you're a big, awesome help. But not only that, I listen to all the other shows you're on, and you know, I wouldn't have anybody else, Brandon. I mean, you do such a great job, and I feel it's honestly an honor for me to be on the show with you tonight. I really appreciate it. So, Well, let's jump into this thing, man. People are wanting us to talk some NXT, so Let us talk about it. Let's go ahead and get into this first matchup that we have. And, of course, we get the nice intro with all the fans at NXT clapping and cheering. And they get treated to a match that starts out the Heavy Machinery taking on Moss and Sabatelli.
Yep.
And this is one that, you know, I think a lot of people are, you know, kind of interested in, for the fact that leading up to this, Brandon, we've had a little bit of the teasers and all that kind of stuff, and it's not been a lot, let's be honest. There was like one moment in the parking lot where they kind of got into a little bit of a mix-up, but still, I think people like myself have been kind of waiting to just kind of see what the payoff would be here. And I really think that they did a decent job here. You get a lot of what you expect out of this match. You know, of course, Heavy Machinery, all the big man stuff, just really entertaining. Moss and Sabatelli using all their antics to their advantage. In fact, they use the roll-up to get the victory here. And that kind of really leaves you with a taste in your mouth. You're like, but at the same point.
Not just a roll-up, but a leverage pin, too.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, top rope. So there you go. I mean, they are definitely showcasing that they are cheaters.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, these guys have been kind of entertaining. I'm still not big fans of Sabatelli and Moss, but I mean, they've kind of been entertaining with their backstage stuff with the cars and the jackets and all of this. First with Street Profits and now with Heavy Machinery. But this match definitely sets you up. This is definitely a match that is foreshadowing a rematch.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that. And it's one that I think we still want to see. I don't know about you, but I can get excited a little bit about seeing that rematch, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly hoping for a number of reasons that Heavy Machinery goes over in this feud whenever it does come to its climax, because they're a team that, you know, after the Superstar Shakeup back in May, or in April, rather, I thought they were going to be a team. Granted, you didn't have Undisputed Era, you didn't have Street Profits at the time, but they seemed like a team that I was thinking could be one of those top teams along with AOP and Sanity at the top of the tag team division, and then it just never really happened, and I'm hoping that there's still a chance for them to get on a roll and climb the ladder in the tag team division.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I was a big WCW guy back in the day, and they remind me all about WCW when I see these guys. So I'm all on board with them. And I love Heavy Machinery.
And for those of you who haven't seen the news, I'm going to lay a little news on you guys right here. But I'm hoping we get a Battle of the Machines once War Machine, who has officially signed with WWE now and has reported to the Performance Center, I hope that War Machine is able to keep their name and we get a Battle of the Machines in NXT at some point.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, right? And, you know, that's going to be a big deal when they eventually do show up on NXT television. We don't know when that's going to be. But right about the time where Heavy Machinery should be getting up on that ladder and climbing a little bit further, that's exactly right when Heavy Machinery is going to jump on board. And that's going to make a lot of us Heavy Machinery fans a little nervous. But come on, you got to love War Machine. I'm not going to cry and complain if War Machine takes their spot. I'm just going to be a little disappointed, right?
I mean, I think there's enough space in the tag team division, which, you know, the NXT tag team division, even though, I mean, I've been saying for a while, I don't want any more NXT tag teams to be called up to the main roster because they get destroyed whenever they do. But, you know, the tag team division in NXT has been one of the top divisions in NXT for a while now. It's fallen off a little bit, but, you know, you still have Undisputed Era, you still have Street Profits, you still have AOP and Sanity still on NXT. And, you know, Heavy Machinery and War Machine can both fill out that very deep tag team division and make a few make a few more feuds, and, you know, you don't need to have the title in order to make a splash in the tag team division, I feel.
Yeah, you're totally right on that. And, you know, the other tag team that's involved in here is one that you just mentioned. Yeah, maybe really not sold on them, but Sabatelli and Moss do have a little bit of charisma to me. I think they still got a ways to go. We're, you know, kind of seeing that money gimmick, and we've seen it before. I think that they could really use some help, and it's kind of funny to say that, but I just don't know if those guys have the charisma to really go a really far way unless they can really find something to add on to their characters or in their personalities. You mentioned War Machine signing. What if EC3 signed on with NXT, and down the line, him joining with those guys? Because his gimmick's all about the money, too. Wouldn't it be kind of fun to see him as a trio with those guys? I think he would really help them. EC3, if he signs on with NXT.
Well, that's actually a rumor that's going around, too, that he was at the Performance Center today. So, you know, that could be an interesting concept, although a lot of people are speculating that he may go straight to the main roster. But if he were to go to NXT, that could be a way to, you know, make kind of like a Money Inc. type of stable with Sabatelli, Moss, and EC3.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something I threw out there, just something I'm kind of thinking about. And, you know, if EC3, and I really think EC3 will sign. You know, we've kind of had this discussion on our Wrestling to the Max podcast a little bit here and there. But I think that, you know, it's probably going to happen.
I think it was pretty much confirmed today that he's signed.
Okay, it's good. I'm just excited that his name is even mentioned. So if he's signed and it's confirmed, I am over the moon. So let's talk a little bit about what comes up here next. And there's some, you know, little vignettes that we'll have to talk about. We have the Undisputed Era kind of getting their little promo time here. You, of course, Adam Cole is talking all about the fact that he is going to destroy Aleister Black. You've got Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish kind of saying that anyone who steps in their way to get their championship belts are going to get dropped. And, you know, I think the Undisputed Era, these guys, you know, are meant to be something special here. They definitely place them in a good role. I'm okay with these video packages they kind of put together, or I guess you said promo videos. I think they do a good job, and I think this one was fine. It's kind of like a little bit of a pause until they get to the next step.
Yeah, I mean, I like them. It reminds me a bit, not fully, but it reminds me a bit of the Shield promos, the Shield vignettes that you got back in, you know, 2013, 2014.
Yeah, I could see that. I really can, because definitely with the different camera angles that they have there. You know, it was more POV with the Shield, but you're right. It is very much interesting with the way they kind of film it. It kind of makes you have that Shield-esque feel
to
it.
And each of them, when they're talking, kind of stepping forward in front of everyone else. And, you know, it just feels, you know, very similar to the way the Shield was. You know, and yeah, it was a nice promo, you know, very Undisputed Era type, where they're just saying, you know, we're better than everyone else, and, you know, if you step in the ring with us, we're going to destroy you, plain and simple.
And I like that. They need to do that more often, and I think they're doing it, and I can't wait to see the next step in that feud.
I don't know if you were going to talk about this next, but I love the promo package that we get with some ECW clips.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and talk about it. What do you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Well, I just like the fact that, you know, they were talking and amping up, you know, the fact that this is going to be an Extreme Rules match, and, you know, it's going to be in Philly, and them showing clips of old ECW matches. It makes me think and hope that they put on a very, you know, hardcore ECW type match. I mean, I think this wasn't meant to happen, but I'm pretty sure based on where it was and the way he hit it wasn't meant to happen. But with them, you know, showing, you know, not trying to hide the fact that Killian Dane, what's his name?
Lars Sullivan?
What?
You talking about Lars Sullivan?
No, the other guy in Sanity.
You're talking about Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, Alexander Wolf. Them not hiding the fact that he was busted open in the War Games match. Maybe they allow them to push the envelope a little bit at TakeOver.
Which would be really fun to see. And, you know, Aleister Black, you know, mentioning the extreme stuff and all that. I think you're right. And if they really do go down that road, it is going to be a lot more special. You're totally right. I mean, they can kind of play the game of we're PG or we're going to be safe. But let's be honest. Who watches NXT TakeOver? It's the true blue hardcore wrestling fans that usually watch it. And they're going to want to see a little bit of that color. They're going to want to see some of those extreme moments that they used to see on their TV, or maybe if they went back in time and watched on the network or wherever else on YouTube.
And so, especially the fact that it's in Philly.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you know what? And, you know, that's right. Philadelphia is a special place because it's the home of ECW, and that would be something that I think would just fit right on cue on that night. And it would be beautiful. Let's see if they do it, though. Well, let's see if we get it. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I worry. They kind of pull back the reins a little bit. And so I'm excited about
it. I'm just hoping that we do, just because of the clips of ECW that we got. You know, maybe that's kind of a foreshadowing that, you know, we're going to let them go all out.
You know what? I have no problem watching Aleister Black in a bloody mess.
No, neither do I.
So I hope it happens, but let's see.
It was fun seeing Alexander Wolf get some in the War Games match.
Oh, I'm right there with you. That was a great match too. So yes. I mean, if anybody's listening and you haven't actually watched War Games, please go check it out. You'll see exactly what Brandon's talking about. It was a brutal.
Not to mention a moonsault from Roderick Strong.
Woof! Boy, Roderick Strong. And talking about Roderick Strong on this episode of NXT. Yeah, thank you, Brandon. Good job there, man. We do have Roderick Strong having a match in this show, and, you know, it's kind of funny because he takes on a little guy that I find very interesting, someone that I think really has a bright future if they allow him to, and that is, of course, Fabian Aichner. And this match, surprisingly, doesn't live up to what I wanted it to be honest with you. It was a little short. I really felt like Fabian Aichner kind of showed a little bit of what he has to offer. Not a ton, though, you know, and it's just, to me, a little bit of a letdown. I mean, Roderick Strong, you know, comes out, puts the stronghold on, and gets the victory, but, I mean, it was a little short for my taste. I don't know about you, Brandon.
I mean, I think it's kind of what I expected, because while Fabian Aichner is starting to get a little bit of a push here, getting him on TV a little bit more, he's still, for the most part, pretty much a jobber at this point. So it's what you would expect in a match like this, you know, trying to get Roderick Strong, you know, to look strong, pun intended. So, I mean, it's what you expect. You know, it was a decent match. It's still kind of weird to me how the Cruiserweight Classic went, where, you know, like, the lower card guys that lost in the first round, like, half of them just got stuck in NXT, and then, like, the rest of them got put in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, that's true, you know. That's the way they, I think, had to play it, though. They had to put some of those, you know, lower-level guys somewhere, right? Yeah. So, but, you know, I think it's fair, and I think down the line, we're going to see Fabian and Aichner in a better light. But right now, you're right. He's paying his dues. He's doing that right now. We're seeing Leo Rush definitely do the same thing. I think there's better days for Leo, too. So I have no problem with it. Man, well, me too. I'm a huge Leo Rush fan. So, but no, I mean, honestly, this is a match made for Roderick Strong. That's what this is about, showing what he can do. And then he gets on the mic and does something that terrifies me for him. And that's call out Lars Sullivan and says he wants to face Lars Sullivan, someone else who feels like that they have been, you know, earning an opportunity and they've already done it. So it's their time. So I, you know, Lars is a killer and he's going to have a interesting match against Roderick Strong, but I think this is going to be a fun matchup when they get together. And I have no problem with it, honestly.
I mean, yeah, I don't have any problem with it either. I mean, I think just about everyone knows where this is going, but I mean, it works because, you know, you've got these guys like Roderick Strong, like Cassius Ohno, who have some clout, have some cachet within the WWE and NXT universe because of their time in the indies. So getting a win over them does look good on your resume. So, you know, them having Sullivan go over guys like Ohno and Roderick Strong, it helps him more than it hurts them. You know, they're not really hurt all that bad because, you know, Ohno a little more than Roddy, but, you know, Roddy especially because he's a smaller guy, you know, you can understand why he would lose. And especially because while he's gotten away from it a little bit more over the past, you know, couple of weeks, his whole gimmick has been kind of the underdog gimmick from the get-go. So, you know, it's a good, it's a perfect kind of story for Roderick Strong right now.
I'm right there with you, and I love this, and the reason I do is just that, what you said, underdog, and Lars Sullivan, so dominant, so imposing, and to see this whole matchup take place, I think they're going to have a lot of special moments involved, and hey, I mean, I'm down with it, I'm ready to see it, so let's, you know, kind of continue to follow this and see where they take it. We have a video package here for TM61. Yeah, they're still around, everyone. I promise. They are still in NXT.
You know what this package made me think of? Another team. Well, granted, they're not around anymore, but I had to check to see if they were still around. I went to go see if Blake and Murphy were still in the company.
Wow. You know, honestly, I don't even know. Are they or are they not?
They are.
Okay. Wow. So, yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about them, to be honest with you. Wow. So, yeah, you know, they were kind of doing singles action because what was it? It was Murphy that was injured. I can't remember. One of them had been injured. So
yeah,
but yeah, I mean TM61. I'm really looking forward to them coming back. That once another tag team to add onto that list you just got through talking about a little while ago, Brandon. And I think this is a special team. It's been a big, huge bummer that they've lost all this time that they could have been growing and, you know, getting better. But I mean, they're finally coming back. I love the vignette. They did a little comedy. They're very likable. They have great skills. I mean, I think as soon as they get back in the ring, everybody's going to be over the moon for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool seeing the history behind them and seeing, you know, how they worked with Harley Race and all of that. You know, and so, I mean, these types of vignettes work to get teams that have, or teams or individuals that haven't been on TV for a while, or you want to know more about. It works to get them over. I mean, we saw the way it worked with Roderick Strong back, what was that, last summer, I think, when they did his whole thing. You know, so these types of things work, and it's cool to see them and see, where these guys came from.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and it just draws fans in. This is a big deal. This is why I love NXT sometimes, because they take that opportunity and that time to showcase where these people came from, where their beginning was. Even if it's a little controversial because it wasn't WWE, they still show where they came from. And that's, to me, very important. It means something. And I think they mentioned the junior heavyweight tag titles, I believe, in that package. Well, I mean,
that's the thing that's kind of nice about WWE. And I don't know what really started this. I mean, you could say that Punk kind of started this, but the fact that WWE doesn't, I mean, this may also be for more so with NXT because Triple H is involved and he's not as vindictive as Vince is, but he's willing to acknowledge other wrestling promotions. He's not just gonna completely ignore the history of someone just because he doesn't want to acknowledge and give any sort of promotion to another company.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there in agreement, because I think it's important for these guys to have history, for people to understand that they are former champions. It doesn't matter where it's from. Maybe you don't want to mention a local Indian, Iowa or something. Maybe no one really get that. But I mean, major companies, you're right. I mean, I think it's very important. New Japan, Impact Wrestling, I don't care. Those major companies, they need to have a little bit of a, hey, they did win a world title or a tag title. So,
they've even been doing it on the main roster with JBL. Was it JBL? No, it was Corey Graves mentioning how when the Balor Club first reformed, them talking about the IWGP tag team titles and the junior heavyweight title and all that. So it was cool hearing them actually distinctly acknowledge certain titles.
Yeah, and which they should. Let's be honest. The fans watching know. Yeah, so, they should at least bring it up. But you're right. I'm, right there with you, man. We'll see what happens with TM61. I can't wait till they get their debut. Redebuting, hopefully, very, very soon. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on and talk a little bit about the NXT Women's Division here. We have an interesting match. We have Aaliyah versus Lacey Evans for a match here. And this one, gets a little bit of time, not a whole lot, but still gets some time. And I think they had a pretty even keel matchup. It looked like Aaliyah was kind of getting a little bit of the headway here until Lacey Evans kind of changes things. She gets a jawbreaker and then a vicious right hand to get the 1-2-3 and end this thing. But still, Aaliyah, I think, walks away, looking like she, belonged in the ring. It wasn't a squash or anything. Yeah. But, man, Lacey Evans sold that right hand. She acted like she hurt herself doing it. I think that was a really cool, moment, because it kind of breaks that barrier of, oh, did that actually hurt? Oh, yeah, it looked like it hurt, and she sold it like it hurt. So I love that. I thought that was a great moment of besides the victory here for Lacey Evans. And, before we get a little promo she cuts, what do you think about the match?
I mean, the match was, decent, nothing super special, but like you mentioned, a nice match, and nice that it wasn't just a complete squash. The fact that she sold the right hook helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks like that's becoming more of a finisher WWE's okay with. I guess with Big Show out of the picture, they're okay with the knockout punch now with various different people. So,
it's kind of funny how there seems to be two different groups of wrestlers in WWE now, where it's there's the old school guys who want to stay true to kayfabe and not use punches because that was the rule back in the day, and then those people who don't care if they use punches or not.
Yeah, that's true. That is so. It's kind of interesting. You do get that mixture, but in this case, it looks like that Lacey Evans was taking that role of, hey, she is going to use a punch, and it looks like it's going to be her finisher. And I don't think it's a bad finisher. I think it really fits. And Evans is definitely growing, and she's been here for a little while, but I think it's great that we're seeing a little bit more personality. In this promo after the match, she kind of comes out and kind of plays the better than you character. She's kind of like the Southern debutante, I think that it's time for me to clean this whole ring of all the other filth. She mentions Nikki Cross, which, oh my God, That's dangerous. Don't. You shouldn't even mention that name. And please, then
please,
I think.
Please let's just get Nikki Cross to just squash her now, please.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you know, you can name about 15 other names on that roster, but that's the one name I probably would leave out of my mouth. But yeah, that's I think her funeral. But you know, she basically kind of goes to her shtick, and I think it was actually pretty good. She says a few things there that, you know, at least make us understand this is the direction the character is going, but, and I really liked it.
She named two and a half people, but we all know who she was about to mention third. Three people that I would love to just see them just absolutely annihilate her.
Yeah. I mean, she mentions Nikki Cross, first of all, which is dangerous. Ember Moon, which, you know, well, what the heck? That's the champ. Yeah. And then you're going to name the person that comes out, Shayna Baszler, which.
Well, no,
you could obviously.
She was about to name Kairi Sane.
Oh, was she really? Okay, I see.
Yeah,
I guess
she said, "And the pirate, and the or the pirate, and then Baszler's music."
Now that would be kind of a funny match. I'm sorry, I could just see Kairi Sane in the match. Oh boy, that would be great too. So we'll probably get it. We'll see that match not too long from now. But before I guess she even does get a chance to mention Shayna Baszler does show up, and as you noticed, Lacey Evans kind of took a little bit of a detour around to make sure she didn't get in the path of Shayna Baszler, and Baszler comes down and attacks, you know, Aaliyah, and chokes her out, and then Ember Moon shows up and says, "Look, if you want to bully people, come bully me." And Shayna says, "I don't have my gear. What am I going to do? I don't have my gear." She goes, "Well, your place, your time, and bring your gear, and we'll get this thing done." And Shayna says, "For your title, okay." And so it looks like Philadelphia is the place we're going to see Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's title. I think they did a nice job here, honestly, Brandon. I kind of felt like this mattered. It wasn't like it was all rushed. It felt like, you know, once again, Shayna Baszler's bullying and Ember Moon stepping up to save the day.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way they did. The only thing that, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have worked quite as well, but the only thing I maybe would have changed, but again, you know, in terms of who she was trash-talking and everything, maybe Ember Moon wouldn't have cared as much. But I think it would have kind of worked better just, you know, in the way that Baszler is being built up right now. I get the whole heel against heel doesn't happen in WWE, but you know, with her kind of trash talking and saying like I'm better than everyone else, like it would have been a little bit better for me personally if Baszler had just come up from behind while Evans was talking and just put it on her right then and there.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that wasn't a bad thing either. I'm right, you know, and right there with you. I think basically clearing the ring is not a bad idea overall. I mean, you take out Evans, and then Aaliyah tries to escape. You take her out, and then you have Ember Moon come out, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I mean, it's more vicious. It's more dangerous. But I think possibly for time reasons, they didn't do that maybe. I don't know. I don't have the time sheet in front of me what they did or why they did it. But I think that could possibly be why. But I think your point is very valid, and I think the more vicious you make Shayna Baszler look, which I think they've done a decent job of it.
Oh, they've done a great job.
Yeah, the more people are going to care, and I think by the time we get to Philadelphia takeover, it's going to be those matches that we're all biding our time. Come on, is that the next one?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see this match because it's an interesting contrast of styles. You know, you've got Ember Moon, who she's not a huge high flyer, but, you know, she's got her finisher, which is coming off the top rope and everything. So she has some aerial moves. So she's more athletic, more high flying against the very much, you know, MMA style submission ground and pound style of Shayna Baszler. So it's an interesting, you know, contrast that could play out for a number of different things in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, we have some other coming up here in this show that, you know, kind of lead us to that big Philadelphia show. Let's talk about what is right after that, where we have Zelina. Him, hey, Cien Almas, you know, he's the man, but you need to understand that Johnny Gargano isn't ready for him yet. And I think that the number one contendership should be put up for grabs, because Velveteen Dream had some points that were really true, and Gargano should have to put up the number one contendership against Velveteen Dream to face Cien Almas. And William Regal was not enthused about that. So Zelina Vega, of course, did not get the answer she particularly wanted. But hey, then you're going to get exactly what I think a lot of us were interested to see. We have Johnny Gargano himself come out. Of course, before we do that, well, no, let's go ahead and talk about it. I'll mention the other segment they had between later. Johnny Gargano comes out, basically says that Zelina Vega, Cien Almas, William Regal, Velveteen Dream, and none of them believe in him. None of them actually think that he can do what he says he can do. They doubt him. So he says he's willing to do it. He is going to come and put up that number one contendership up against Velveteen Dream. And then after that, he's going to go and become NXT champion. I think this is probably the most favorite moment that I've had with Gargano so far. He actually seemed like he was expressive. He cared. He was on fire. I love this. I love the just complete excitement you could see in his face and in his voice.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the promo. Maybe it's just me and my not liking Vega and Almas, but I feel like I feel like this is more of a, you know, heel type move of like she's saying that, you know, she doesn't think Gargano is worthy, but in reality she's really afraid of him. And yeah, she would rather see Velveteen Dream because she thinks Almas has a better chance against Dream.
Yeah, and that's probably the case here. And I think from what you're saying, you can definitely get that, you know. And I think that's the big thing, is that she's got to put as many distractions, as many roadblocks in front of Johnny Gargano as possible. That way he cannot get to Cien Almas. And if it comes, it comes. But after he gets there, he's going to have been through a lot of battles before he hits the war. So. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, fun to see this match, though. I think that Velveteen Dream is definitely a guy that's gotten better charisma-wise. I think in the ring he's, you know, got something to show us. And I think him and Gargano can have a great match. I think that Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black match just blew me away. I can only imagine what Johnny Gargano can do.
The one thing I kind of wish that, and I understand that, like, they wanted to give Black a big win and everything, but the one thing that would have been kind of interesting if they had decided to continue that feud is for it to culminate in, instead of an I Quit match, instead have it be a Say My Name match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were kind of going that way, but not really, right? I mean, it was not a Say My Name match. You know, that's not the way it worked. But I think you're right. I think it would have been great if they had that added in, because that was what Velveteen wanted him to do. Say my name. Say who I am. Who am I? So I think that they – I wouldn't say missed the boat, but I think it's an added bonus if they would have done that. So. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, you know, once again, like I said, I am excited about Gargano and Velveteen Dream. I think that they can probably live up to the hype. I really feel that way. So yeah, let's see how that shakes out.
I'm just hoping that Gargano retains or keeps it. You know,
yeah, I think he would, wouldn't he? Because I don't think Velveteen Dream is the guy to screw him over. I think eventually we're looking at being Ciampa.
Yeah, probably.
So. Let's talk a little bit about No Way Jose. Yeah, that's right. Oh, he's another guy.
Thank you. Another guy. I'm so glad that he's coming back. I'm like, he's another one of those guys. I talked about Heavy Machinery and how I hope they get a push. No Way Jose. It's funny, when I first saw the Visionettes with him, with them, you know, promoting his debut, I was like, just another like generic, you know, Hispanic guy, you know, that's what I was expecting. And then, you know, he came in and, you know, him using the baseball moves and, you know, just his charisma and everything just completely sold me right from the get-go when he had his first match against Alexander Wolf. And I'm really hoping that he gets a big push moving forward in NXT.
I think that the guy definitely gets the crowd behind him. Like you said, He's got a great future ahead of him if they continue to push him, right? If they continue to let him climb that ladder and to see where he can go. And I think he's exciting. I've not been a big fan of his. I like him okay. But I think for the fact that I just mentioned Velveteen Dream, a guy I completely did not like at all, I've kind of come around to him. And I think I'm going to come around to No Way Jose a little bit more.
I've come around. I mean, like I said, when I first saw the visionettes for No Way Jose, I was like, oh, this is going to be just another generic, you know, guy. And then he completely sold me over right from the beginning. Velveteen Dream, I'm still kind of on the fence about. I'm still not a huge fan of his. We'll see how he goes. But, you know.
I think both guys have potential. But No Way Jose getting this time, getting a chance to kind of showcase that he's coming back and get fans excited, that means something. I don't think they would do that just to do it. I think that they are preparing us to get ready for that next run for No Way Jose.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the big match here. That's right. We have a mini event for you with the Authors of Pain taking on the Street Profits. And this is one that I was kind of looking forward to for the fact that the Street Profits have pretty much, you know, did everything that they needed to do to get here. They've dominated. They've, you know, been really fun to watch. They've done all their stuff in the video packages, you know, going out and hanging out with the fans, just doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And then they face this force that's pretty imposing, that's pretty powerful, and they were definitely to be reckoned with because the Authors of Pain, I'm not going to say they squashed them, but they pretty much squashed them in this match. I mean, they you know, Angelo Dawkins got a little offense here. You know, Ford kind of got a little bit in, but this was really about the Authors of Pain. Let's be very, very honest. Mm-hmm. They came in here. They won the match. I don't know that that was a huge shocker, especially the way the match started, but I'm on the question mark and on the fence on how much I like the Street Profits getting handled so badly, but they've got a future ahead of them. I think the Authors of Pain are definitely doing something, so that means they have to do this to do something bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a complete squash, so, I mean, Street Profits got a little bit of offense out, so I'm okay with it. I am a huge Street Profits fan, but I think even with this loss, I mean, it's against Authors of Pain. You know, you've got Paul Ellering at ringside, you know, a legend, so obviously they have the advantage on a number of different levels. So, you know, I'm okay with them winning, but like you said, I think Street Profits still have a bright future ahead of them. But, you know, yeah, this is setting up for AOP against Undisputed Era, and I think that'll be a good match at Philly.
Yeah, I'm agreeing some of that, too. And I look at this and say to myself, the Authors of Pain, they have these big matches coming up in Philadelphia, and they'll have some other ones down the line. And there's a reason, though, that they face guys like the Street Profits, young up-and-comers who've been very dominant, kind of like Heavy Machinery. Let's say that. Heavy Machinery, you took them on, too, and they defeated Heavy Machinery. And yeah, it was great. And this is just a proving point that the Authors of Pain are facing some of the best that NXT has to offer. They're not just going out there and facing a bunch of guys or first or second year wrestlers.
No.
They're taking on some of the best that NXT has to offer, and they're being victorious and doing it. So when we actually get these other big matchups, they matter. And so I think, you know, a decent main event here. I think, well, like I said, this is all about Authors of Pain. But Street Profits, look to see them come back. Look to see them recoup and, you know, do their thing and just say, hey, you know, we take our lumps, but we're getting better. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see from here.
And also looking forward, you know, looking ahead to a couple of months from now, you know, you got to assume that we're going to get another superstar shakeup in April after Mania. So, you know, I could expect Authors of Pain, Sanity to maybe get called up. So that leaves a void in the tag team division, which hopefully Street Profits and Heavy Machinery will be able to fill in along with War Machine.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, every time we have WrestleMania coming around, which is, you know, not too far in the future from us, that means that look to see some NXT stars leave. And that's really a great point. I really question. I wonder if Paul Ellering is ready to leave too, or if he's going to let those guys move on without him. I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I would hope, at least for the beginning, at least when they first come up, just for the fan, for the casual fans that don't watch NXT, or but who may have been fans of, you know, WWE and WCW back in the day, I would hope that he comes out just to give them that extra rub on the main roster.
I hope so too. I really do, to be honest with you, because he adds something to those guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they are getting a little bit better. I think that eventually they won't necessarily need Paul Ellering around.
Oh, and, no, but I would at least hope for the, for like maybe the first couple of months or so. But, you know, for the first couple of months that they're on the main roster, that he sticks with them. And then depending upon if you want them to be face or heel, you either, you know, have him have a backstage segment with him saying, you know, I've done everything I can for you guys, you know, can take it from here and leaves, or them, like, you know, turn on him and, you know, do the super collider to him or something like that, you know?
Yeah. That's true. I mean, they could do something like that for sure. And I think, you know, no matter what they do, the future is bright for AOP.
Oh,
I
definitely
really, really do. So, but yeah, that pretty much wraps up our NXT. And man, once again, we've had a lot of fun talking NXT. Lots of great stuff and lots of great content. And we are looking forward to NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. That is going to be such a fun show. We'll be doing our go-home review show next Friday morning, and you are not going to want to miss that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll definitely be setting things up. And, of course, you know, we you know, definitely enjoy watching this lead up to this big show. So, I know, Brandon, was there anything else you wanted to mention before we get out of here?
No, don't think so. Just, I mean, the big thing I'm looking forward to next week is seeing LA Jose back in the ring again.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a fun moment. So, you know, come back and check us out. You'll get a chance to hear some of myself, and if Paul's back, and if Paul's still sick or away, maybe Brandon will be back next week, and we'll definitely talk about No Way Jose and everything else that takes place at that NXT Go Home show before TakeOver Philadelphia. And also, you know, once again, Wrestling to the Max is one of those podcasts that I do, and I want to make sure people know that we are not going to be doing our Friday morning show. I am sorry to say that, but we have to kind of miss this week. Two of the three guys are definitely sick. I am close to sick, if you can't hear my voice. So we decided to take the night off. So if you guys are looking for it and you're like, oh, where's that show at? Where's it at? Why isn't it not on the dock? Well, guess what? That's why, because we're not going to have that show. I'm so sorry. But we will be back. I promise you, we will be back on Tuesday morning. So you'll not only get that Raw 25 review show that we'll be doing, but you'll also get a chance to hear Wrestling to the Max come back, and we'll be covering all those big topics like Roman Reigns and some of the other big signings that WWE have taken into their home, and a lot of other big things going on in the world of wrestling. You're not going to miss that show. Brandon Bisco being man, you do a lot of stuff here on the network. Tell people where they can find you and listen for you.
Yeah, the main thing that I'm doing right now is The Kickoff, which is a football show that Harry Broadhurst, myself, and Eric Watkins do. That is on Wednesday nights. And then here and there, over the last couple of weeks, I've been filling in for either Liz or Harry over on the SmackDown review and 205 Live review. I also have a fantasy football podcast that I'm working on that will be starting. We'll do a little year in review after the Super Bowl. And then Harry and I are also on the opening stages, probably won't be for a little while, but the opening stages on building a new show based around the Monday Night Wars and, you know, the ratings war, and diving into each week of the Monday Night Wars. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, for sure. And the way to go find everything that Brandon just mentioned and the stuff to look forward to, W2Mnet.com. That's right. That's the place where you go and you check out. Just type that in and get ready for a lot of great content, because we got tons of wrestling podcasts, football podcasts, soccer. We also got video games, entertainment, so much to offer. You don't want to miss a minute of the action when it comes to the podcast that the W2Mnet.com has to offer. And if you want to just come find us on whatever you listen to us through, maybe Spreaker.com, Apple Podcasts, heck, wherever it is. Just make sure you go check out Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network, which gives you every single show that the W2Mnet.com has to offer. And when you hit that subscribe button, you'll get them all in your nice one gift, and it'll be in your dock, and you can find everything there. And don't forget to hit the rate and review button for those shows. We all appreciate it. Every time you do that, we get feedback from you. We also get a little love, and we thank you for all that. And also support our friends over at 411media.com and LastWordOnProWrestling.com. They do a great job, too, and they support us. Let's go support them, too. Once again, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time out of your night and joining me. And I know this was kind of a last-minute thing, but I really, really appreciate it.
Well, like I said, I'm the top sixth man in Wrestling to the Max.
There you go. I love it. I love it, man. Well, okay, guys. Well, we are done for the night. We hope you all have a great one. Until next time, we will catch you guys down the road.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.